Now we're going to have our Bible reading. Noah's going to come up and read to us from John chapter 13.
The Bible reading is from John chapter 13, verse 1 to 17. It's on page 1534 in the Church Bibles. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, You do not realize what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew he was going to betray him, and that was why he said that not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them."
Thanks. It'd be great if you could all have a Bible open at that passage and we'll pray. Let's ask for God's help. Heavenly Father, as we spend this time pausing to think about what we've just read, we pray that you will direct our eyes to Jesus and that you will give us insight into who he is and what it means to trust him in our lives today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the big idea that I want us to think about today is that the Lord Jesus is a humble servant. I've got 3 points from this passage which flow out of the idea that the Lord Jesus is a humble servant. And we've just read what happened in the lead up to Jesus' final dinner with his disciples before his death. Jesus knows that this is right at the end. It says in verse 1, it says, Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. And so he is very deliberate at this moment in showing the disciples that he is a humble servant. And if we can... if we can understand what this means, that the Lord Jesus is a humble servant, then this will shape how we come to him. It will shape how we continue in him. And it will shape how we serve him. So I'll say that again. Big idea is that the Lord Jesus is a humble servant, and it shapes how we come to him, how we continue in him, and how we serve him. I did that demonstration just before just to try and get you to experience a little bit of the surprise that the disciples experienced when Jesus washed their feet. I mean, it was common in those days that people would have their feet washed before a meal if they were eating at someone's house. People used to wear sandals. The roads were dusty. There's plenty of animals on the road. You've got donkeys and cows and horses. And so who knows what you might have stepped in on the way to dinner. But there's also a cultural thing that we need to understand to really make sense of this story. See, it would only be the lowliest of servants who would wash feet. Because feet, in Middle Eastern culture, feet have this particular connotation of being unclean and shameful. And so in the Middle East today, you need to be careful that when you sit, you don't point the soles of your feet towards someone who's of higher rank than you. In the same way, when Arab parents discipline their children, it's not the wooden spoon or the belt that they reach for, it's the sandal. Some of you might remember back in 2008, there was an Iraqi journalist who was furious at US President George Bush because of the war. And so this Iraqi journalist did the most disrespectful thing he could think of at a press conference. Does anyone remember what he did? He threw his shoe at George Bush. And so if we can understand that, you know, feet have such a strong meaning, and then look at this, and hang on, here's Jesus. Here's Jesus, their teacher. Here's Jesus, the Son of God himself. Here's Jesus, who's, remember, he's just been welcomed into Jerusalem as King and Saviour. Here's Jesus with a basin in his hand and a towel around his waist. And so Peter says in verse 8, No, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus' answer, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. See, Jesus is saying, if you want to come to me, if you want to be one of my people, this is how it must happen. You must come to be washed. Here's a question. Do you find it easier to help someone else or to let them help you? So I reckon a lot of us find it hard to accept help. Because once you accept help, there's sort of this social debt to the other person. You feel like you need to do something in return. All right. You can pay for the meal today, but next time I'm paying. And it's possible to have this same kind of approach to God. Or perhaps you've tried to make deals with God. It's the God, I know I need your help. So how about we do the following? I'll come to church and I'll put money in the offering and I'll volunteer to do something useful. And then, okay, if I do that, God, would you please help me get a job, pass an exam, find a marriage partner, whatever it is? Have you ever done that? Tried to make a deal with God? But then, if that's you, we've got to think, have you truly come to Jesus in the way that he presents himself here? Because here's Jesus, towel wrapped around his waist, basin in his hand, ready to wash your feet, insisting on serving you. Unless I wash you, you have no part with me. We've got to come to Jesus as people recognizing we need to be washed, and only he can provide the kind of washing that we need. We can't do it ourselves. So if it was possible to make deals with God, if it was possible to sort of go through life earning credits with God that you can cash in when you need to, well, if it was possible to sort things out with God based on your own works and actions, then I've got a question. If that was possible, why would Jesus have had to die? Because Jesus said in verse 7, you don't realize what I'm doing, but later you will understand. So he's saying this washing of the disciples' feet, this is something that's only going to make sense a little bit later. I've got a question. What happens when your feet go in the water? The whole idea of putting feet in water is that the dirt goes into the water absorbs the dirt, and that's what makes your feet clean, yeah? And so Jesus, less than 24 hours later, when he's arrested, when he's taken and nailed to a cross, when he dies in this place of shame, what's that all about? That's all about the dirt and the shame of our sins going onto him so that we are left clean. Do you remember that famous old hymn, Rock of Ages? One of the verses goes like this. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to your cross I cling. Naked, come to you for dress. Helpless, look to you for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. I run. Wash me, Saviour, or I die. So this is the first point. If we want to belong to Jesus, we've got to be willing to be washed clean by his death for us on the cross for our sins. That's the first point. Knowing Jesus as a humble servant shapes how we come to him. The second point is that knowing Jesus as a humble servant shapes how we continue in him. Because, okay, maybe Peter overreacts a bit in verse 9 when he says, well, Lord, okay then, don't just wash my feet, wash my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. So, what is Jesus talking about? Well, let's think through this. On a very practical level, Peter has already had a bath. Presumably that morning, Peter had a bath. And now it's evening. His feet have got dirty on the way into the city where they're going to have dinner. But that doesn't mean he needs another bath. And Jesus is saying, hey, Peter, this is where you're up to when it comes to following me. Overall, you are clean. It's just your feet that need a wash. Okay, but what does that actually mean? Well, maybe I can give you an example and we'll work back from there. As you know, I've been involved in youth camps for many, many years, and we have this practice on the camps of asking the youth to respond at some point, respond to the message by giving an indication of where they are at. And there's this slip of paper where they can tick different options. They're either I'm trusting in Jesus, or I'm not a follower of Jesus yet, or maybe I want to become a Christian. And over the years, I've seen a lot of people who, year after year, will tick that box, I want to become a Christian. And so then the follow-up conversation, hang on a minute, why are you ticking that one again? Didn't you already give your life to Christ? Yeah, but I just want to make sure. But whereas what Jesus is saying here is, no, when you come to me, there is a sense in which he washes us once and for all time. From that moment that you admit your sin and you trust in him as Saviour and you submit to him as Lord, from that moment, it's like you've had a bath. You are clean. You are made right with God. And you're able to draw near to him. And Jesus is saying, hey, Peter, you and most of your friends here have already passed that point. You've already had that bath. You've already put your faith in me. We don't need to do that again. To use a theological word, once you are justified, you don't need to be justified again. So, okay, if that's the case, what is the point of washing Peter's feet? Well, it's to do with the dirt that's collected on Peter's feet throughout the day. And what are we going to do about that? See, even after you've come to Jesus and put your trust in him, you still struggle with sin, don't you? I mean, is there anyone here who completely stopped sinning when they became a Christian? I'm sure there's not. So Peter is fundamentally clean, but he's got these dirty feet that need some kind of cleansing. Perhaps you could turn with me to John's first letter. So this is 1 John. It's on page 1737. 1 John, chapter 1. I'm going to read from verse 7. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. It says, 1 John chapter 1 verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his son purifies us from what? All sin. Did you get that? We are made completely clean. But then read on. Verse 8, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, this is verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Purify is a word related to cleansing, washing. So perhaps another way to explain what Jesus is talking about here is think about a married couple. A married couple are legally bound together in a relationship. And while that relationship is in place, nothing they do cancels it. So, you know, one of them forgets to put the bins out. And there's some mild frustration, but they're still husband and wife. And another time, one of them says something really unkind and there's a lot of frustration and there's a big argument and yet legally they're still husband and wife. They're maybe not enjoying their relationship so much on that day. And certainly they have some things to work out together, but they do. They sit down, they talk through it, there are apologies, there's forgiveness. And so what's happening? Are they getting married again? After they've had that argument and they sort it out, are they getting married again? No. They've been married the whole time. But the day-to-day relationship is being healed. And so there's this sense in which if we've come to Jesus, we're clean, we've had our bath. And yet the reality is, from day to day, as we go through life, we sin. And so we need our feet washed again and again. When we're in this relationship with Jesus and we sin, we're not put out of the family, but it does affect the joy and the peace and the health of our day-to-day relationship. And so Jesus says, even though you've had a bath, you still need to come to me again and again and have your feet washed. And so just as Jesus' blood on the cross made us clean once and for all, there's another sense in which the death of Jesus is like a fountain constantly flowing for our ongoing cleansing. And that's actually one thing that we do when we meet together Sunday by Sunday. You've probably noticed that the first prayer in our service tends to be a prayer of adoration and confession, where we pause and we remember how great and holy God is, and we admit that we fall short, that as we've been walking through life, we've accumulated the dirt of sin, and we need this fresh experience of washing from Jesus. And so we came to Jesus in the first place, letting him serve us by washing us. And we continue with Jesus, asking him to serve us by washing us. It's all about grace from start to end. And that's important to remember, because I think it's, like, practically speaking, it's possible for us to start off by grace, but then to fall back into kind of a works way of thinking. So that when we sin, we think, oh, well, I have to make up for it. I have to do good things before I can go back and pray and draw near to God again. Whereas the reality is, you'll never be able to make up for it. You'll never be able to pay him back. We keep coming to him for cleansing. He keeps offering himself to us as a humble servant. And it's actually through this process of drawing near, confessing our sins, experiencing cleansing again and again, that it's actually through that over time he changes you. And those sinful desires get weaker and our love for Jesus grows. And so this washing is an illustration of how we came to Jesus in the first place, and also of how we must continue in him. The third thing that Jesus points out is that washing feet is also an example to show us how to serve him. Jesus says, reading from verse 13, "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that's what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." And so we serve our teacher by learning to practice his ways toward one another. We serve our teacher by learning to serve one another. What exactly does Jesus have in mind when he says, go and wash each other's feet? I mean, some Christians have made this act of foot washing kind of an annual ceremony, usually in the lead up to Easter, where they'll pull out the bowls and the soapy water in church. Well, it's interesting. There's nothing to suggest that that first generation of Christians understood that that's what Jesus was wanting. Rather, what we see amongst the first Christians is a willingness to help each other in whatever practical way was needed. And so when someone in our church family is down with COVID and you give them a call and you arrange to drop a lasagna on their doorstep, that's an example of washing feet. Thank you to those who washed my feet while I was in isolation. When someone among us is going through a stressful time at work and they just need a friend to listen and be able to talk it through with, when that happens, that's an example of washing feet. Washing feet can be inconvenient. Remember, washing feet was the job of a servant, a job that normally no one would do unless they had to. And I want you to notice, it's not only your best buddies whose feet you're called to wash. It's not only the people who do nice things to you, because one of the things about this passage is that Judas is there. Judas, who's already decided he's going to betray Jesus, Judas still received the practical care of having his feet washed. So let's think about this. Friends, we have a lot of needy people here today. Here's a question. How will you know when one of your brothers or sisters is in need? How will you become aware if they're sick or lonely or stressed? Can you see that we're not really able to wash each other's feet unless we know each other? And you notice that what Jesus does here happens, it doesn't happen out on the street, this happens in the context of hospitality. And actually, it's when we get together, when we sit down to eat together, that the opportunities to serve one another open up. And so, if you want to serve like Jesus, let me suggest that why don't you start during our time of hospitality at morning tea, and as awkward as it might be, why not make an effort to speak to someone, either someone you don't know or someone that you haven't chatted to for quite a while, and just find out about their story, about their joys, and about their struggles. There's kind of two dimensions to washing each other's feet. I mean, this whole event, on one hand, is a very practical thing. And yet, it's also loaded with spiritual meaning. And so, we wash each other's feet by doing very practical things for one another, but also as we speak the gospel to one another. Also, as during the ups and downs of life, as we remind each other of Jesus' loving, cleansing grace, as we help each other to look at life through a gospel lens, that's also a way of washing each other's feet. We wash with our actions and with our words. So, friends, I reckon it's an amazing thing that Jesus has shown himself to be a humble servant. It's because Jesus is Lord that this is so remarkable. There's a song that occasionally comes up in my playlist. It's a song by a fairly obscure American band called The Flaming Lips. Has anyone ever heard of The Flaming Lips? No, didn't think so. There's this song they've got, a really creative name. It's called the Yeah, Yeah, Yeah song. But it's got some really interesting lyrics. Listen to how the song goes. The song goes like this. If you could blow up the world with the flick of a switch, would you do it? If you could make everybody poor just so you could be rich, would you do it? If you could watch everybody work while you just lay on your back, would you do it? If you could take all the love without giving any back, would you do it? If you could make your own money, then give it to everybody, would you do it? If you knew all the answers and could give it to the masses, would you do it? And then the chorus says, it's a very dangerous thing to do exactly what you want, because you cannot know yourself or what you'd really do with all your power. It's a song that reflects the way that we as a society are very suspicious about power. We genuinely don't want anyone to have too much power over us. But I want to finish by just pointing out one thing from this passage about Jesus. Back in verse 3, it says, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. Now, I don't know what you or I would do if we had unlimited power. But what we've seen this morning is Jesus. Jesus the Lord, knowing that he has all things under his power, what did he do? He served. He washed. He went to the cross so that we can be made clean. So friends, this is our Saviour and Lord. All his power is directed by his love. All his majesty is expressed in humility. And that's why we can trust him as our Lord. It's why he's worthy to be praised and served forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what an amazing thing it is that our Lord Jesus showed himself to be a humble servant. Father, please give us the humility to accept the washing that he offers us. Please draw us back to him again and again, confessing our sins and renewing the joy and peace that we have in him. Please give us hearts of servant love for one another. Please enable us to know when our brother or sister is in need and to serve as we are able. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.